Hi, you've reached the High Fashion Hotline.
Hi, my family's going to a tailgate and I want our style to stand out from the crowd.
Just go to Old Navy.
Old Navy?
Yep, Old Navy's got all the latest fall styles. Plus, during Old Navy's colossal sale, you'll save up to 50% off store-wide.
Did you say up to 50% off?
I did, so don't sit on the sidelines. Old Navy has the perfect pants from $19, stylish dresses from $15, and comfy tees for the family from just $6 right now at Old Navy and OldNavy.com.
We're cheering for Old Navy.
High Fashion, Old Navy. Valid 10-2 to 10-10, select styles only.
I don't know what the hell that was. That fever shit's starting to get out of control. I like his hoop game, but he pulled that other stuff in the car.
You are Locked On Fantasy Basketball, your daily podcast on fantasy basketball. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Fantasy Basketball podcast brought to you by Basketball Monster. My name is Josh Lloyd and as always you can find me on Twitter at @RedRock_Bball. Back with another podcast. Preseason action is well and truly underway. I am going to be doing a podcast on the preseason and what we can sort of take from the preseason early next week. I'm not going to do it now. We've had 2 days of games. Next week, Kyle McEwen will join me and we're going to go over the preseason action and what sort of things we can take from it. Obviously, my boy, but I know people will be offended if I said that. My boy Kyle Kuzma went off again yesterday, continuing to make me look stupid. But again, I'll continue to say this. There is no way that he continues to shoot this way. Well, he wasn't quite as good yesterday, but he took an inordinate amount of shots. He also put up like one rebound and two assists. Very Nick Young-y. I have people thinking, oh, is he going to be a top 100 player this year? Is he a draftable player? There's still lots of things to go. Like Larry Nance hurt his finger yesterday. Brook Lopez, Andrew Bogut didn't play. So more minutes at center for Nance and Randall. It is hard to keep Kuzma off the floor. I understand that. And I'm not the biggest Randall fan. Everyone knows that. I don't think he's very good. I don't think he's ever going to become very good. But there is still Randall. There's Bogut, there's Lopez, there's Nance. And there's Kuzma in those mix in that front court position. Kuzma can play a little bit of the three as well, but I just don't think he's going to get, A, that level of usage, and I don't think he's going to get be able to shoot at that high level that he has been so far. It's been consistent, summer league, the first two preseason games, but I just can't see him coming in and being the greatest shooter of all time in his first couple of games. I just don't think that that's a realistic I think that's a realistic proposition to think for Kuzma, but he has been really interesting to see the way that he has performed and definitely outperforming his 27th spot in the draft or pick in the draft. We'll see how much that continues. To me, hey, if you want to take him with the last pick in your draft, pick 150, totally fine. Totally understand why you would do that. I just think there are a few roadblocks in front of him being able to replicate this preseason form once the real stuff gets kicked off. Speaking of getting stuff kicked off,
let's get to it.
All right, we're going to talk about the injury situations in the Eastern Conference. So just to run through all Eastern Conference teams, and I guess from that you can guess that tomorrow we'll do the Western Conference, and just talk about what injury situations and anything I guess I want to talk about with those teams as well. So let's start with the Atlanta Hawks. DeAndre Bembry is dealing with a strained triceps injury. Initially it was thought it would keep him out to begin the season, but he is pretty confident that he will be back to begin the regular season. He's not too far away. He's a guy that he's going to be in the rotation, I believe, but it's going to be battling Marco Bellinelli for those backup minutes at the 2 and the 3 behind Kent Bazemore and Taurean Prince. So more of a deeper league guy, but I'm not a massive Bazemore guy, so maybe at some point Bembry could take over there, but just a deeper league guy to watch. The other one is Miles Plumlee, who hurt his quad in the first preseason game. He's already been ruled out of Wednesday's game. I don't think he's even going to be in the regular rotation, so nothing to really see there. The Brooklyn Nets, who are about to tip off their first preseason game, they're going to be without Caris LeVert and the blue swimmer Alan Crabb, who are both dealing with ankle injuries. These aren't too severe. They're nothing to do with the foot problems that both of these guys have had. They've both had fractured feet in the past 2 years. LeVert had the 3 surgeries, I believe, while he's at Michigan, and Crabb had it just after the playoffs, but they're both okay. They're just some twisted ankles. They will be fine. Crabb is a guy that I've talked about a lot. Hits threes, doesn't do anything else with other statistical categories. Maybe that can change in Brooklyn with less talented players around him, but to me, he is nothing more than a late-round flyer, and same as LeVert. LeVert would need to get a 28-minute role to be a standard league guy, and I just don't see that happening for him this season. The Charlotte Hornets played their first preseason game the other day. We had some issues with some of their players, like Dwight Howard had missed some practices due to a back issue. He played. He looks weird in a Hornets uniform. I'm not exactly sure why it is that he looks so strange in that Hornets uniform, but he does. But hey, whatever. Dwight is playing. Still annoys me that he's starting over Cody Zeller, but that's fine. The Hornets went big quite a bit in that preseason game, playing Zeller and Kaminsky and Dwight and Kaminsky together at times. Meaning I think we're going to see Kaminsky almost exclusively as a power forward this season. And that does hurt his fantasy value. All his big fantasy games last year came when he was playing at center when Zeller was out. Howard's still a strong punt free throw guy, even if he's not going to be playing 32 a night, which I can't see any way that he does. He's going to be a below 30 minute guy, but strong rebounder. Get his blocks there. Good field goal percentage. Okay scoring on limited attempts. Still going to be a useful fantasy player despite universal hatred of him as a bloke. Malik Monk, who'd been dealing with ankle issues, there was some concern that he wouldn't be ready for preseason, he wouldn't be ready for the start of the regular season after missing summer league. That's obviously unfounded because he did play in that first preseason game, did not shoot the ball well, and that's pretty common for rookies, unless their name is Kyle Kuzma. Rookies always struggle out the gate. It's a really common thing. We've only had really two rookies who haven't struggled. One of them was Kuzma, and the other one was my boy John Isaac. And just remember, if you're doing a dynasty rookie draft and you haven't done it yet, Isaac's the fourth guy. He is the fourth guy. To me, it is a no-brainer to take him fourth. I know people will say Fox, or they'll say Tatum, or they'll say Joshie Jackson. To me, it's a no-brainer to take Isaac at four. I can totally understand why you would do those other guys and why you want them. If I've got pick four, this is assuming that Fultz, Ball, and Smith are gone in the top three picks, which they should. Isaac is the fourth guy. But back to Malik Monk. He did struggle with his shooting. I think there's going to be a significant role for him, whether that's over Jeremy Lamb or playing some backup point guard, given the situation with Michael Carter-Williams, who still hasn't been cleared for full contact. It's expected to happen in the next week or so with his knee problems, but he's had consistent knee issues, hip problems, lots of injuries. And he was terrible last season. Just another one of those names to add to the list of contract year players. Now, a contract year player, mate, is going to put up big numbers. It's going to be huge. Contract year. Cool. How did Michael Carter-Williams' contract year go? Went all right. Yeah, how did Terrence Jones' contract year go 2 years ago? Playing in China now. Someone had that post up on Reddit yesterday asking about, contract year players. Do I target these guys? And someone thankfully said, hey, I know Josh has got good thoughts on this. It's not that I have thoughts on it. It's just that when someone has a shit year in a contract year, it just gets ignored. It just gets brushed under the rug and people pay no attention to it. How's Rajon Rondo's contract year last year? Terrible. Nerlens Noel? Underwhelming. This happens all the time. Someone will have a big year. Otto Porter, man. Contract year. That's why I've got to target my contract year players. Yeah, maybe. How's Ben McLemore's contract year? Terrible. Tyreke Evans? What did he do in his contract year? Drew Holiday? About the same as every other year in his career. It is a myth that players, and people, you can give past examples. I'll look at what Kyle Lowry did before his last contract. He was bad, then he became good. And you know what he did after that? He became better after he signed that contract. So the narrative that people, that players go out there and all of a sudden try for 1 year to get paid and they slack off is bullshit. Lowry got better in his contract year, yes. And then got better the next year. Trevor Ariza did the same thing. Hassan Whiteside, he was just as good in his season after signing that big contract. It wasn't the same shot blocker, but the defense was there. This is stuff that does happen all the time. So it is not something I really pay any attention to. Restricted free agencies, a different story, mainly because it's an age-related increase in ability or production. But the contract year is just something that I don't pay any attention to, as you're well aware. Back to the Hornets, Trevion Graham out with a hamstring. He's not really going to have too much of an impact on this team. He was a really good three-point shooter last season, but he's barely going to crack the rotation on most nights. The Chicago Bulls. I can't wait to see my Bulls today, man. Preseason action. And of course, Fred Hoiberg is screwing things up from the very first game. And maybe I'm being a little bit harsh on him, but his starting lineup is going to be Jaren Grant. Cool. Justin Holiday. Yep. Paulie Zipser, Bob Portis, and Robin Lopez. So I agree with Zipser. I agree with Lopez. Portis over Mirotic is ridiculous. Holiday over Valentine, no idea what you're doing there. And Grant over Dunn. Look, Chris Dunn is terrible. And I was pretty adamant about that last season, before the season started. He's not that good. He's not good. Grant's not good either. And I was discussing back and forward with someone on Twitter today saying, oh man, you got to give Dunn the go. He's only had one season. How can you say he's terrible? Well, Grant's only had two seasons. So it's not like he's an old player, but I understand that at this point, Grant is better than Dunn. I do understand that. But surely one of the pieces you got back from the Jimmy Butler trade, actually the only piece that's going to be able to play in this first game, you got to get him out there. Now, in fairness to Hoiberg, Dunn is going to start the second preseason game in this battle for the position. Hopefully we see some Denzel Valentine and hopefully we see Nikola Mirotic play. But just, this is going to be a frustrating season. Dunn is fine as a last pick, but this back and forth bullshit is likely to continue all season and it's going to make him someone that you probably drop in a couple of weeks' time. As for Lauri Markkanen, he's going to miss at least the first two preseason games, maybe back on Friday with a back issue that's bothering him. I don't think that he's worth a standard league selection anyway. His defensive numbers are going to be poor, as are his rebounding, and he does have to battle with Portis and Mirotic. He'll probably get more minutes than Portis, I would think. Hopefully they don't give him more minutes than Mirotic. I know they want to see what they can get from him. So he will get playing time. He will get maybe 20 minutes or so a game, I believe. I know some people disagree with that. Some people think he'll get way more than that. I'm not on board there, but I don't think he's a standard league type guy. Campaign is out for the next 3 to 4 months with a broken foot. This foot has really bothered him. He's broken it twice, I believe, in the last 12 months. Before he had the foot injury, before he had the foot surgery, he was the MVP of Orlando Summer League a year ago, and now he's forgotten how to play basketball. I don't really understand what's going on with him. Really, really bad situation for Payne, a guy that I did like coming out of the draft and during his time in Oklahoma City, but the broken foot has killed him. He's in real trouble. Zach LaVine, talked about it a little bit on yesterday's show. He is not going to take full contact until sometime in mid to late November. I don't think we see him back on the court until January, making it, if you don't have an IR spot in a daily changes league, it's really tough to draft him. I don't see how you can really draft him in that sort of a situation. And even in a league with an IR spot or a rotisserie league or a weekly changes league, I think he can be a top 60 guy this season after February. But taking him at 60 or 70, I think that's where his ADP is, there's no value in that because you're missing out on a guy who can give you that value for at least the first 4 months of the season, maybe the whole six months of the season, whereas LaVine might do it in the back end and it puts you in a little bit of a hole early on. If you can get him outside the top 100, it's fine. I would prioritize getting him over someone like Jabari Parker, but we're still not seeing him until January. Quincy Pondexter miraculously cleared from his knee problems. It looks to be all ready to go. Amazing what happens when, and this is how weird it is, he's gone to the Chicago Bulls, who have got a horrendous medical staff, but it is a huge upgrade on the New Orleans Pelicans, which is just, the stories that come out of there regarding medical stuff is disgusting, and really the NBA should be doing something and stepping in, because it is absolutely horrible, the sort of medical treatment, and I don't know what the hell is going on. I know it's to do with the NFL team and the Saints doctors and medical staff, but it is a joke what is happening with the Pelicans, and something does need to be done. Players Association needs to do something with this situation in New Orleans. It is horrendous. But as for Pondexter, the knee is okay now, amazingly. But now he has strained his hamstring, so he's going to miss some time. There is some opportunity for him on the wing in Chicago. Obviously, if Paul Zipser and Justin Holiday are starting, there is playing time available, but I'm not really banking too much on Pondexter, who hasn't played in 2 years and at best was a seventh man guy before that, being a player that's going to have much value. But for deep, deep leagues, 20-teamers, 30-teamers, you want to pay a limited amount of attention to Pondexter. The Cleveland Cavaliers, Isaiah Thomas, much the same as Zach LaVine. January is when we're looking at him coming back from that hip problem, and even then I believe they will ease him in slowly. I don't think that it's worth picking him inside the top 80 this season. I think that's a risk. Yeah, he could come back, but he's not going to come back and be a top 15 player. I'm certain of that. I think when he comes back, he might be a top 30 guy, maybe. Or they just really ease him in alongside Love, James, and Wade, and Rose, and whoever else is in that crowd, all those guys. There's a lot of different players there. Thomas is not going to have the same role as he had last season. He won't be the same player as last season. So I think taking him in the top 80 is probably a mistake. LeBron has missed a couple of practices with an ankle problem. He'll miss the first preseason game. I don't think we've got too much to worry about with LeBron James and his ankle. He will be fine and ready to go. So no concern there. The Detroit Pistons, Reggie Jackson, he's saying his knee is pain-free, so that's obviously good news there. He's gone through full contact practice, but now he's dealing with an adductor issue as well. There's going to be problems with Jackson, but I like him as a late pick. His upside is not that high. He is not a top 50 guy because of A, the injuries, and because of B, his coach, and Van Gundy just won't give him big minutes. But if the knee is fine, which it appears to be, he's saying that he's waking up and he feels fine in the mornings with his knee, then I think that there is a chance that he can become a top 100 point guard again. So I like him as a late round pick. I would take him over Chris Dunn in those late rounds if I'm looking for a point guard. I would consider him over Darren Collison in those late rounds as well. But there is some risk, but that's what happens when you take that last pick. The other injury in Indiana is, not Indiana, so I'll get that in a sec. Let's get to Indiana. I've finished with Detroit. Indiana, the little dog, Glenn Robinson III, has a severe ankle sprain. He is out 2 months. This really screws with people. We've seen past instances of Jimmy Butler having really severe ankle problems, Ricky Rubio really severe ankle problems, and it affects them for the entirety of the season, knocks all their numbers down. He had an opportunity to grab a significant role on this team, but I think this is going to really hamper that. That moves Bojan Bogdanovic into the starting lineup with a larger role. It also gives a larger role to Lance Stephenson on this team also. Now, I don't think Lance is really going to be a standard league target, but he could be, and I think he's going to have significant value as a standard league streamer. And Bojan is also going to be a streamer, mainly because he does absolutely jack shit apart from threes and points. And the points aren't going to be high enough that he's scoring 18 a game to be valuable. So he might be a 14-point guy, but he could hit 2.5 threes per game. And that's the value there in Bojan. So he is going to have some use as a streamer. Maybe you look at him as a last pick if you're really struggling with three-pointers. Their second-round draft pick, Ike Anabogu, is still dealing with his knee problem. He's not going to be a part of the rotation regardless. The Milwaukee Bucks, Thon McCur didn't play in the first game with an ankle problem. Jason Kidd is now saying we might not see him until sometime next week. Nothing to be too concerned about there. Obviously, just taking it easy. I don't really see McCur as being a great fantasy option for standard leagues this season. He would need, I'd say, 27 to 28 minutes to really start to crack the top 110. I don't think he's getting that much playing time. I think he's more a 23 to 24 guy. Yeah, splitting that time with Greg Monroe, and no doubt Jason Kidd will do something just to completely piss me off and put John Henson back into the rotation just to really get things cranking with his team. I know a lot of people have had some queries about Yanni. He's fine. His knee is fine. He missed the game because his father passed away. Nothing to do with his knee. The Bucks said they're going to give him as much time off as he needs to deal with the passing of his father. So obviously, my condolences go out to Yanni and the Adetokunbo family. I'm sure he's not listening, but yeah, we'll have our sympathies with him and his family. And he'll be back and he'll be fine and ready to go. As for Jabari, sometime in February, he's going to be back from his ACL injury. There's no point in drafting him. Even if you say, I've got an IR spot, that's cool. But between now and mid-February, you're going to need that IR spot. There's no doubt you are going to need that IR spot between now and February. And when he comes back, he's not just coming back and playing 34 minutes for the last 2 months of the season. It's not happening. So I don't see any point in drafting Jabari Parker this season. The New York Knicks, they are ready to play their first preseason game very shortly here. Frank Ntilikina has been dealing with a groin injury, but he is going to play. I am really, really interested to see how he goes. I think that there is an ever-increasing chance that he is the opening night starter, not Ramon Sessions, not Rugged Ronnie Baker, not Jarrett Jack. I think it's Ntilikina. I like him as a late-round flyer pick. Again, if it doesn't work out in his shit house or he's playing 24 minutes a night for the first 3 weeks, you get rid of him. But I would take him as a late-round pick now. I think these chances of him starting are higher. As for Baker, he won't play in this opening preseason game with an ankle problem that's been bothering him. He's clearly not a fantasy target, maybe a 20-team league guy, and that's about it. While Joakim Noah won't play due to rest, he's not going to play most nights anyway. So I wouldn't be too bothered about drafting him. I think he could be the fourth center in the rotation. They are going to start Enes Kanter alongside Kristaps Porzingis. Doug McDirt, Ntilikina, and Timmy Hardaway is going to be in that starting lineup. Mindaugas Kuzminskas is also out of the lineup with a calf problem. The 76ers, of course, we've got Joel Embiid, who is still, he's going through most parts of practice, not full 5-on-5 contact, but he's doing most parts of practice. He maintains that he'll be ready for opening night. I don't know if we see him in the preseason. I think we might see maybe one game out of him. He's been ruled out of the first two, but I'm feeling more and more confident with Embiid for this season. Yes, there will be minutes restrictions. I know that there'll be some back-to-back limits early on, but I think by January, everything goes to plan, and we don't know if anything's going to go to plan, but if everything goes to plan, I think that the back-to-backs will be gone by January, and the minutes restriction will be probably lifted or at least elevated to 30 minutes by the time you get to January. So I'm feeling all right with him. Tim Mate Luwawu-Cabarrot is dealing with a knee problem. I don't know if he is going to be an every-night part of the rotation. He's going to be battling Justin Anderson, Nick Stauskas, and perhaps Furkan Korkmaz, who's looked good in their scrimmages, for that last wing reserve spot. He put up big numbers at the end of last season, and I do remember saying that this is a real chance that this is Luwawu Cabarrot's best performance in his NBA career. As much as I do like him, the addition of Korkmaz and Redick and Jared Bayless coming back and Justin Anderson getting some more playing time. It's gonna make it hard for Timotei to put up those sort of numbers that he did at the end of last season. Amir Johnson is dealing with an ankle problem, so he won't play in the Sixers opening matchup. So I don't know how he's going to fit into the rotation either. Obviously, there's Rashawn Holmes, there's Jahlil Okafor, there's Amir Johnson. There's Amir play as the backup four. But then you've got Dario Saric, who's going to rest in this opening preseason game as well. So Amir's a guy that I don't think is necessarily going to play every night, but his presence there makes the idea of handcuffing Rashawn Holmes to Joel Embiid a more risky proposition, because it's not like last season when Embiid was out, Okafor was out, Noel was gone, then Holmes had to play 28, 29 minutes, and you had the sexy boy Sean Long. He was the only other backup center. That's not the case this year. So Embiid is out, right? So you've got Okafor, and you've got Johnson, and you've got Holmes, who can all play that role. And then you've got Simmons and Saric playing the four. So to me, it's not a no-brainer that Holmes comes in and plays 28 minutes. Now, I believe that Holmes is better than Okafor. I believe that Holmes is better than Johnson. But it doesn't matter if I believe that. Brett Brown has to believe that, and he has to be fully committed to it. And I'm not sure that he is. So that's why, you know, some people were being super aggressive on handcuffing Holmes, because Holmes did well at the end of last season. It's not clear-cut to me. I don't think that he is the clear-cut backup center that's going to get the bulk of the minutes. It might be a 22-22-7 situation, even though that doesn't add up to 48. But that is the concern. The Toronto Raptors, their first-round draft pick, OG Anunoby, who we thought might be out until January, has participated in a full-contact 5-on-5 scrimmage. So he is back ahead of schedule. Didn't play in their opening preseason game, in which my boy Norm Powell looked really bloody good. And, of course, Dwayne Casey played him off the bench, which is just asinine to me. He needs to start because he plays better with the starters and it helps their team out. CJ Miles got that start, but Powell, to me, is the better fantasy option. He is the guy that I want. But Anunoby's going to have that opportunity. I just don't think he's going to get that role with Powell there. As for OG, I really like his dynasty potential. He's a 1.5 steals and blocks type upside player who can have a decent field goal percentage despite being a poor shooter, a la Michael Kidd-Gilchrist. Grab some rebounds as well. I think he's got tremendous dynasty potential, but I'm not sure we're going to see too much of him this season. To round things out, the Washington Wizards played their first preseason game against a team called the Long Lions, I believe, from China, which had Tyler Hansbrough on the team. Johnny Wall sat that one out due to rest, and his backup, Tim Frazier, was out with a groin injury. So my boy Tomas Satoransky started, and what do you know? He's actually good. No shit. It pissed me off the way Scott Brooks used him last season. To play him behind Trey Burke was an offense to anyone who's ever watched basketball in their life. I don't know if Satoransky is going to be ahead of Tim Frazier. I don't really rate Tim Frazier. I know if Matt Smith's listening to this, he's going to be like tearing his hair out and wanting to punch his headphones. I don't rate Tim Frazier. I think that Satoransky is better than him and he would be more useful as the backup, but the Wizards could very comfortably go with Frazier and I'd feel all right in that position. But Satoransky, I think, needs to get minutes. But more still just a deeper league dynasty player. As for Markieff Morris, who's going to miss the first few weeks of the regular season, Jason Smith got the start in that first preseason game. Scott Brooks was talking about getting Kelly Oubre some starts, perhaps. Smith, I don't really think there's a huge amount to like for him if from a fantasy point of view if he does start, more a 16-team league streamer type of guy. But Oubre would be the interesting one. But in the games last season when he got extra minutes and started, it's not like he played well and put up these great numbers. So I don't think that really even looking at Oubre as a late-round pick is a in a 12-team league is a fantastic option. I'm not there for that just at this point.
Hi, you've reached the High Fashion Hotline.
Hi, my family's going to a tailgate and I want our style to stand out from the crowd.
Just go to Old Navy.
Old Navy?
Yep, Old Navy's got all the latest fall styles. Plus, during Old Navy's colossal sale, you'll save up to 50% off store-wide.
Did you say up to 50% off?
I did, so don't sit on the sidelines. Old Navy has the perfect pants from $19, stylish dresses from $15, and comfy tees for the family from just $6 right now at Old Navy and OldNavy.com.
We're cheering for Old Navy.
High Fashion, Old Navy. Valid 10-2 to 10-10, select styles only.
That is the Eastern Conference injury roundup. But before I go, I want just one thing that, and I am going to talk about this. I did ask it on Twitter. I got a lot of responses. I said, would you guys be interested in me like going through each team and ranting about situations on each team which pissed me off? Not necessarily ranting, but just talking about what pisses me off. And the overwhelming majority said yes. So I'm probably going to do something like that or situations that have the potential to annoy me, like Chicago's coaching. But the fact that Dave Yeager started George Hill, Garrett Temple, Vince Carter, Zach Randolph, and Kostas Koufos should be a fireable offense. There is absolutely no reason in a preseason game to start 40-year-old Vince Carter, to start 36-year-old Zach Randolph, to start 78-year-old Costa Kufos, to start 29-year-old career backup Garrett Temple. George Hill, yeah, sure. But Buddy Hield, Bogdan Bogdanovic, Skel Labissiere, Willie Cauley-Stein, these are the guys that you want to play. You're a team, you've got long-term security, Jaeger, you've just signed an extension. Vlade, you've just signed an extension as well. This is the year where you keep your draft pick, you don't keep it next season. Play the young kids, develop Hield and Skel and Bogdan and Willie. Develop De'Aaron Fox at some point, who looked really good in that preseason game. Not really sure I'm all in on getting him with a late last pick at this point. There are other guys I'd want, but he looked good. But I just don't understand why we need to play Zach Randolph, why we need to play Costa Kufos or Vince Carter. Now, in fairness to Jaeger, the young players played more than those older guys. But if this is what the bullshit that he's going to go through, or he's going to continually rotate guys, because he said in these preseason press conference that he wants to run with a 10-man rotation and he wants to run with like a 28-20-minute split between starters and reserves. So if they're his starters and they're all getting 28 minutes a night and all the backups are getting 20, like Hield and Skel, then it's bullshit and it is ridiculous and Sacramento Kings season ticket holders should be pissed. Now, this is nothing against Randolph. It's nothing against Vince. But they shouldn't be playing large roles. Costa Kufos. 20 minutes for Vince Carter? Fine. 20 minutes for Zach Randolph? Fine. 20 minutes for Kufos? Maybe fine. Yeah, Garrett Temple, if they want to start him and play him 24 minutes? Fine. But give it to Bud. Feed Bud. Feed Skel. I don't like Bud, but feed him. Feed Bogdan. Feed Cauley-Stein. Yeah, get Georgie Hill your 30 minutes and get De'Aaron in there for 24. That's what I think you should be doing. And it was really, really disheartening to see Jaeger do that yesterday. Let's see what happens in preseason games. So that's why I don't want to go too much into preseason early. And while I'll be doing it with Kyle next week, after we've got a couple of games from these teams. But that pissed me off. One thing that didn't piss me off was this bloke.
Nice, Gary!
He looked pretty good, didn't he? He's a pretty good shooting guard. And that team, that Denver team, is super, super fun. Also, shout out to the Winger, Kenneth Faried, who got himself back into the lineup with Trey Lyles resting as the backup power forward. Cool. All right. I think we are done with this pod. Western Conference update tomorrow. And then then I'm going to do an over-under podcast with Greg Ehrenberg for the last show of the week. So make sure you are subscribed to this podcast, whether that is on Google Play, on Apple Podcasts, on Stitcher, on TuneIn, or on Spotify. Subscribe so you never miss an episode. And also leave a review. 5 stars is always fantastic to do. Check out the rest of the Locked On Podcast Network to find out about your team every day. If you want to hear about any specific situations, all the breakdowns of all the preseason action. You want to hear about Kyle Kuzma and Lonzo Ball? Listen to Anthony and Harrison over on Locked On Lakers. You want to hear about Kyrie and Gordon Hayward's Celtics debut and Tommy Heinsohn talking about Aaron Baines' dick? You can listen to John and Jay over and Sam over on Locked On Celtics. So go and check that out. We are done here, guys. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya. Evan Turner.
Is that the new iPhone?
Yeah, got it on T-Mobile. Fastest iPhone deserves America's fastest LTE network.
Introducing the amazing iPhone 8. It's the best iPhone yet, now on America's best unlimited network. For a limited time, save up to $300 on the amazing iPhone 8 after 24 monthly bill credits. And now join T-Mobile's iPhone upgrade program for free.
Eligible trade-in and finance agreement required. If you cancel service, you may lose promo credits. Contact us for details. Video at 480p. Small fraction of users over 50 gigs per month may have reduced speed. See store for details.